The Layup Line. Welcome to The Layup Line. It is January 8th, Thursday night, in a cold Wadsworth, Ohio. It's snowing again, but I'm joined by my good friend Seth Taylor on the line. We're going to talk a little Cavs. A lot's gone down in just a few days, so I figured I got to get you on here, Seth, and talk to you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. I had a good Christmas break.
Yeah.
Good New Year's, you know. Actually got to see the Cavs in action live over Christmas break, which was great. But you know, as I told you, what game I went to.
You got to see Detroit beat us by 30.
Yeah, which was a disaster. And I know my girlfriend listens to these sometimes, so she got me the tickets. And she's paid a ton of money for them. They were great seats. And it was a great day. And then, you know, I get a little bit crazy during games. And then she felt horrible. And I'm like, hey, you can't control the outcome. So,
hey, can you just tell the listeners real quick what you were yelling at the floor and what the people around you were saying?
I was yelling obscenity. I was out of control. Like, I wasn't out of control too much because there were kids around and stuff, but, like, I was, like, telling this one guy, I was like, we suck. I was like, Dellavedova sucks. Like, I just was going off on everybody. I was like, nobody has heart. I was losing. You've seen me watch him on TV before.
Oh, yeah.
I was there. This is a game that, like, I was finally at. I hadn't been there yet this year. And, I mean, I was embarrassed. And, like, honestly, there was, like, two concerns for this. Like, legitimately, the crowd was booing the Cavs.
Yeah.
It looked like they didn't care. And I was like, this is 3 years ago. This isn't supposed to be happening right now.
Yeah.
You know?
That sucks. Yeah, we talked about that game afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like our texts were so short, but then you told me that people around you were yelling at you to chill out and stuff, and I was dying laughing.
Yeah.
I could just envision that. All right, well, hey, we don't have tons of time tonight. I got to catch like a 6:30 plane tomorrow morning. We're flying to Florida. So,
that's awesome.
I figured I'd get your grasp, your take on kind of what's gone down this week, where the state of the Cavs are now, and if you think that's an upgrade as opposed to where they were 5 days ago, and I don't know. What are you thinking?
Yeah, okay. So, honestly, man, I think we can only speculate. You know what I mean? That's what my biggest thing right now is. I learned from this summer and everything, just assuming that everything was going to work out perfectly. You know what I mean? Like, with the roster that we had already, like, I already had all these high hopes, and things haven't gone according to plan. So, I'm kind of in the wait-and-see mode.
Wait, you mean 19-17 wasn't what you planned?
You know, and LeBron taking a two-week hiatus. But you know what? I'm actually happy he's doing that because you remember he sent me that video? And I actually, it's funny because I'm obsessed with football. I probably watch, this is pathetic, but probably like 3 times a week, I'll just like randomly like YouTube, like LeBron clips to like prove to myself, like there's no way that he like fell off unless he had to have been injured. And now I think what I predicted, I think he was injured. I think it was, when your lower back and your knees messed up, it slows you down. And you could just tell.
Yeah,
and he kind of came out and said that, but yeah, I think that the trade, I think obviously the first trade, I know you talked about it a little bit the other day, but the first trade was a good trade. You know, we talked about like Shumpert's gonna, if we can get him to play defense like he did as a rookie in his first 2 years in the league, like he's gonna be able to lock down other team's best players. Smith is going, I don't care like how like erratic he is, he's going to be with LeBron now, and he's going to get to a mode where he's going to want to win, and he's going to be fine.
Yeah, they're like friends, kind of.
Yeah, so like, and you know what? He's like, they're saying, oh, it's like an all-time low. I was like, he was playing for the Knicks, his shooting percentage, of course, was he had to create every chance off the dribble. He's going to be getting wide open looks now.
Yeah.
So, he'll be fine. Shumpert's going to be such an upgrade on defense for, you know, we don't really have like a quote unquote defensive stopper besides, you could say, LeBron. And we don't want LeBron playing locking down on teams anymore. We want him to like concentrate his efforts on the offensive end.
Well, I mean, two things I would say. Number one, we don't want LeBron to have to do that. Number two, I'm not entirely sure that we haven't seen it, so we have to maybe look at this as maybe he doesn't have that in him anymore, or maybe he is hurt. I mean, there's so much speculation there. I just don't think we can treat him right now like he is the defender he was. And I love that Shumpert deal for that reason.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I think he's going to be, just like his entire game is going to change the way we play. Like, we're going to be pretty athletic, you know, our starting unit, depending on what they do, if they go with, like, Tristan, or if they go with Mozgov, which we're going to talk about. Like,
yeah.
And I was, like, reading blogs and watching ESPN, and, like Mark Stein kind of, like, said he was overrated and everything, and I don't know what he's going to bring, but the one thing he is going to bring is he's going to bring at least some size and a player with some ability, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, as it is, it was like if you're an athletic guard playing the Cavs, you might as well not shoot a jumper the whole night. Like, if I'm playing the Cavs and I have any type of quickness, I'm like, I'm going to the rim every time down the floor because there's nobody there. I mean, nobody there. And so, Tony and I touched on it. I mean, obviously we have some – I still think we have some needs, but I think we filled two of our – would you say – are you on board with me? Do you think Dellavedova is a need, like his position?
let's just say when I was at that game, he was the person I was picking up on. He was like a turnover machine. How about the other night when all he had to do was hit two free throws against the Sixers?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
What in the world? Like, just make those free throws, man. Like, if you're Dellavedova and you can't even make a jump shot and free throws, like, you can't be in the league.
Yeah, and that's the thing. My friend Smitty, he's a big Deli fan, and I get it. Like, he's a little white guy. He's Australian. He like, has heart. I mean, he's, like, what all of us would look like if we were in the NBA. But but at some point, like – and my friend Smitty had a great point. He said, well, you can't judge him on that Sixers game because he's never going to be in those situations when we're healthy. Like, he won't be even on the floor. And I said, I give you that. However, if you're in the NBA, you can't look completely overwhelmed against the worst team maybe in the history of the NBA.
Yeah.
And then expect us to be like, oh, he deserves a spot on the roster. Like, you're telling me there's 7 billion people in the world and we can't find one guard out there that's not currently on an NBA roster that could probably be a little more reliable?
We might as well trade in the D-League Dellavedova for Aaron Kraft if we want defense.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not – I don't have an agenda or a vengeance or whatever. I don't have like a – I'm not out to get Dellavedova. I just watch him, and like the eye test of – I'm a basketball guy. Like, I can look at that and be like, no, he's not going to cut it. Like, I don't trust him in May. You know what I mean?
No.
I mean, the Thunder are bringing Reggie Jackson off the bench, and we're going to throw Dellavedova out there in the NBA Finals to match up with him. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's
–
you got to look at stuff like that.
I'm sorry. I don't believe – and I just have a hard time believing there's not a person in the D-League or like in Europe that are more athletic and do the exact same thing. I don't know. But.
I mean, because here's the thing. Like, he's not really asked to score. Like, pretty much all he has to do is play great defense, get the ball to places, and hit wide open shots and not look overwhelmed. But he just looks overwhelmed.
2.0. Yeah. He's Eric Snow 2.0.
Eric Snow was better than him.
I hated Eric Snow, but yeah.
I agree with you on that. Like, I think we're on the same page there. I think we're on the same page, too. Like, this was my take on the trade, and we've been round and round on this, but, like, we basically exchanged Dion for another Dion-type player. I think people give JR a bad rap. I think he's got a better attitude than Dion. I just think he's kind of a goofball.
Yeah,
like,
no.
he's not – I don't think he's, like, a toxic, cancerous-type guy. I think he's just – he's not like – this incredible leader, but I would rather play with J.R. Smith than Dion Waiters. And then so we exchange that and then grab Shumpert. I'm cool with that. I mean, what do we have to lose there, you know? And we grabbed a draft pick out of it that we flipped.
Has J.R. Smith ever played with, like, a good leader? Like, I was thinking
he's played with Carmelo twice.
He's not a leader.
Yeah, he's not a leader. Yeah, I don't think he has.
I'm like, now he's got a legitimate superstar that's like kind of like this my way or the highway kind of player, like LeBron. Like, I mean, if he doesn't fall in line, he needs to realize he's got a contract ending and he's either going to be on a bottom feeder. If he does okay with us, maybe we'll like re-sign him for something. I don't know. I mean, the plan's probably to re-sign Shumpert, but
yeah. I mean, guys like him in contract years, it's really the best situation you can have because you know that his next 5 to 10 years depends on what he does right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'll take that. Well, let's get into the Mozgov thing. The Mozgov thing is really interesting to me. And so I said on the podcast just a couple nights ago when I was talking to Tone, I said, I think people are assuming there's like lots of big men. Like, it's just like you turn on the radio or you talk to anybody in Northeast Ohio, like, yeah, we got to get a big man. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. The Cavs or the Browns got to get a QB. Like, there's not like this big man farm where you can go and just pick one out of a tree. Like, they don't,
yeah.
There's not a lot of them. And so I kind of said that like a Mozgov or even a Costa Kufis is like kind of plugging the hole, but maybe not actually filling in the wall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get that analogy. I think when I first heard it, I didn't like it. Cause I was just like, I don't think he's what we need, but the trade has grown on me a little bit. Let me spell out where I'm at with it. And then I want to hear your thoughts. Okay. So the trade comes across and the first thing everyone hears is we gave up 2 first round draft picks. Now that's like to people that don't really follow the NBA like really closely, you hear the words first round draft picks, you're like, oh my, like what are we thinking? Well,
yeah.
when your draft picks, we're talking about something that's probably in the 20s. Both of those picks are probably 20 range. I wrote these down. Let me read who was drafted like 21 and on in last year's draft.
Yeah.
Mitch McGarry, Jordan Adams, Rodney Hood, Shabazz Napier, who's in the D League right now, Clint Capella, PJ Hairston, some foreign dude, I can't even say his name, CJ Huestis, and Kyle Anderson.
Yeah.
So we hear like, oh, first round draft picks. But I mean, let's be honest. We're not talking about like being able to draft the next first or second. You know what I mean? Like the next first, second pick.
Yeah.
Like we're not giving up Anthony Davis or something like that. Like, so as I kind of looked at that, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm okay with this. And the biggest thing that I was saying today when I was talking to Tony about it, he was over here. I think what we have to remember is that we did make the trade for Kevin Love. We gave up Wiggins, who's looking better than I expected, and almost hauntingly better than I expected. So after giving that up, and Bennett, who cares, we've committed to Kevin Love, and we're going to re-sign him if he will re-sign with us. And so I think a big part of this trade is twofold. I think a part of it is to throw your support at Kevin Love if you're the GM and you say, hey, it's been chronicled and it's clear watching you play. You need someone bigger than you on the floor with you. So here you go. We're gonna throw you this guy, and this is us giving you our support that we want you to feel comfortable. And a part of it also is throwing it at Kevin Love and saying, hey, it's time for you to play. Like, no more excuses. You got a 7-1 guy behind you. It's time for you to be Kevin Love. And so I take the trade – and I'm okay with it. I think we gave away 20 to 25 picks. Who cares? Where we're probably not picking up someone that great anyway. And we immediately gave ourselves size. We immediately gave Kevin Love support. And we're a better team on paper when healthy, much more than we were a week ago.
Oh, yeah.
So I agree completely. Are you agree with that, or what do you think?
No, I totally agree. And like we have a 3 to 4 year window.
We've talked about that a lot. 3 to 4 year window.
Yeah. So like, let's say a 4 year window. Two picks in the late 20s or you know whatever aren't going to get it done. Like you just said, you named those players. I couldn't even tell you anything about those players. You know.
Yeah.
And honestly, man, like we still have a pick in the upcoming draft anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's
like,
the thing.
That's for like future drafts. Dude.
No. Yeah. We David Griffin like. He said it, like, he made good reference to it. He's like, hey, there's a reason we've assembled, like, all these picks. Like, we didn't assemble all these picks to have, like, 6 picks in an NBA draft. Like, that's worthless.
Yeah.
In an average NBA draft, there's not 6 great players in the first round. Like, he said basically we assembled all these so we can move them when we need to for times like this. And I support him. Like, I don't hate these trades. Like, I think we did all right.
We're significantly better – like on paper, like we always have to preface that
on paper
than we were like 2 weeks ago. And you hit it on the mark, man. Like if you watched any of that Sixers game, like they were just like quadruple teaming Kevin Love and daring anybody else to do anything. And it's just going to be so good for him to have somebody else who can like help in the post and crash the boards. Like he was like, he did everything he could possibly do in that game for us to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I let me just jump in with it. I was watching the same game, and so I'm watching it, and I see Kevin Love out there, who's probably 6'8", 6'9", with Tristan Thompson, who's 6'9". And you put those guys together down low. Well, Tristan Thompson can't shoot, So automatically you have the biggest guy on the floor is on Kevin Love, and then Tristan Thompson's guy is able to help off of him. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that have been really harsh towards Kevin Love, and I admit that he hasn't been what I hoped, and he's been exposed a little bit of – he's a little bit less athletic. He's a lot less athletic than I'd hoped. However, when you're being guarded by the biggest dude on the floor and then the second biggest dude on the floor is automatically helping and double-teaming you almost every time you touch the ball down low, good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you're Shaq and you swing your elbows through and just break people and dunk on them, that's one thing. But when you're Kevin Love, like, that's not a situation that a lot of guys can win in, and I think we recognize that. Any Cavs fan has had to have recognized that, and I think Mozgov helps. And I'm actually really excited to see what this does for Kevin Love. And I think it puts it on him. Like, if we're healthy and these guys play, and in 2 months he hasn't really shown any improvement, then my question is, do you even re-sign him?
Yeah, that would be really, really sad if we didn't. Like, I think, honestly, man, though, don't you feel like I'm sorry, but he's been the man somewhere for the last few years. Like, he's been trying to, like, find a niche to fit in.
Yeah.
But those type of games where he had to carry the load, like, when LeBron was out, like, he kind of showed his value, man. Like, what did he get in that game? Like, 26 and, like, 16? Like, that's dumb numbers.
Yeah.
Like those are, like, and his numbers are obviously going to be down, just like you saw Chris Bosh's numbers, Dwayne Wade's numbers go down because he's playing with better talent. But
yeah.
He will be valuable, and he is somebody that, yeah, he's not, that is, the one thing I agree with you on, like, I wish he was, like, a little bit more athletic, too. But,
yeah.
Like, he's fundamentally sound. He gets his body in good positions. He can, without even being an athlete, he can still figure out a way to get, 10-plus boards and, like, 18-plus points a game. And
yeah.
I'll take that. Not that many people can do that.
Well, that's the thing, like, too, is, like, so I'm, like, everybody is killing him for his athleticism, and it's like, okay, name me one super athletic four-man who shoots it better than Kevin Love and rebounds better than Kevin Love. There's not a single – there is none.
Yeah.
Like, there's not this super athlete that does that. Like, Blake Griffin has developed his shooting a little bit more, but he's not – he can't fit the same role that Kevin Love is. And don't get me wrong. I would trade Kevin Love for Blake Griffin in a heartbeat. But you know what I mean? Like, people act like there's this mold that, like, everyone has. Like, oh, yeah, everyone has a 7-foot-1 guy that's like Tyson Chandler. And everyone has Blake Griffin. It's like, no. Like, two teams have those guys. And as far as – and let me just be clear. If Kevin Love will resign with the Cavs, like, I absolutely resign him.
He will. We're going to get it together.
I'm more optimistic right now to see this team healthy than I was a week ago. Just because I think Dion has just shown his color. Like, I think he had to go. I've gone back and forth. Like, you'd see the flashes, and then you just see him be himself and take 7 shots that are all step back 20-footers and play really hard defense for 10 minutes and then kind of get mad. And I'm glad he's gone. I really think that it's time that he be done in Cleveland. So I'll be interested to see how he fits. I think he could be a good or – I mean, that sounds easy. Like, he's either good or bad for Oklahoma City, but I have no idea which fit he'll be now that I really think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what they were doing with that, but honestly, but like you said, from our standpoint, like, to me, we're getting a better version of him and J.R. Smith. Like, a better shooter, more of a veteran. Yeah, he's had, like, some issues with dumb little things. He's not, like, untying people's shoes. And,
but that's not, like, who cares?
He's never gotten serious trouble, and honestly, like, if you remember, like, Jared Smith's, like, 29 now, 28 or 29, and, like, he's still got years left in his career that he's going to be, like, legit, and the fact that he can shoot is going to prolong that.
Yeah.
But if you look back, I don't know when it was, man, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. Didn't he, like, win a dunk contest or, like, enter one back in the day and, like, do really well in one?
I'm pretty sure he was in the dunk contest. Oh, he can fly.
Yeah, I remember him, like, doing, like, so he's a really legitimate athlete, too. So I'm like, to me, like, it's just an upgrade.
Yeah.
It's two players for one player, really.
Yeah.
And Shumpert's actually probably the best person in the mix. And then JR is just like a little piece on the side. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, basically, that the pick that we got from Oklahoma City that we flipped for Mozgov, like, if you look at it, essentially, they had the plan in that. So we really only gave up, like, one pick for Mozgov because. Essentially, yeah. That whole thing was orchestrated where we just kind of got that from Oklahoma City with no regard for keeping it. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And I know we still gave them two picks, like to Denver, but essentially that pick was made, or that trade was made with the understanding of that's going to for Mozgov is what I've been told. The GM for the Cavs was thinking, and so if that's really all we paid to get a 7-footer and to give Kevin Love the space and hopefully the help that he needs, I'm 100% behind that.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of Mozgov film.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. I was like, and to me, to honestly, like, I keep on comparing Cavs to old guys. He's kind of like Z, man. He's kind of like Z. Like, he's not like Z. Don't think of Z like at the end of his career. Like, a little bit earlier in his career where, like, he wasn't, like, a horrible athlete. Like, he's obviously slow. He's a over seven foot guy, a white guy. But honestly, like, I think he's going to be, he's like, you know, he's one of those skilled players, and he's tall, and he's going to, like, if anything, he's going to just, you know, like you said, he's going to fill a hole, which is going to be able to make Kevin Love slide over and not have to be on the biggest man on the team, which is going to make matchup problems all over the place. You know what I mean?
I think so, too. Hey, let's go through the lineup now. That should, all right, so we're assuming healthy now. So we're saying 2-3 weeks from now, hopefully LeBron's healthy, hopefully Shumpert's shoulder's cool. So my guess would be that the Cavs' top eight would look like this. Kyrie, Shumpert, LeBron, Kevin Love, and Mozgov.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, I think they want Tristan's energy off the bench.
Yeah, and then probably my top off the bench would be then, who would we go with? Tristan, probably Sean Marion, and then probably Mike Miller.
Yeah.
JR. So, and then Dele would probably be the backup.
That's a legit bench.
That is a better lineup than we had. And did you listen to a podcast I did with Tony where I broke down the Eastern Conference bigs?
Was that the last one you
did?
I listened to, like, a little bit of it. I listened, like, the first 10 minutes of it, but it's good.
Let me just I'll do it, like, 20 seconds. Let me just sum it up again. So, like, looking at who the teams that we're probably going to have to play in round one are, and, like, the top – so we're in five. We're probably going to finish 5 or 6 in the East, I would imagine. Just how the schedule – like, even if we get rolling, it would be hard for us to get to, like, 2 or 3. But, like, so the Hawks, who – I got to say, I underestimated them the other night when we were talking, and I said that they're probably not going to finish one. Like, I watched them a little bit, and then I kind of listened to some stuff on them, and, like, they're probably better than I thought. They put out their, like, Horford, and they've got that Peril Antic, that, and they got another guy I'm blanking on. Who else do they have? Oh, Millsap. So they got those three that are a matchup. And then you look at, like, the Bulls, and they've got, I mean, Taj Gibson, Noah, Pau Gasol, Mirotic. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge lineup. And even Washington has Chris Humphreys, Gortat, and Nene. I mean, there is some size to contend with. And a week ago, we had zero chance of contending with size. Now we at least have a better chance of contending with that size. I mean, can you imagine what those guys would do to just Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson? Like, literally, that's all we had. And Brendan Haywood.
And that's why, you know, our management's paid to do what they do. Like, they understand that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was a joke. Like, there was, like, I wasn't even, like, as frustrated as I was, like, watching that Sixers game and watching, you know, I knew we were going to have a problem with it. We played Houston better than I thought, but it's just like, what are we supposed to do right now? We're going through so many transitions. Like, you can't even measure us for, like, I feel like we said this a long time ago, like, at the beginning of the season, but, like, it's kind of like a restart. You really can't measure us for like another 3 weeks. Measure us for like 3 weeks after that because we have to gel.
I said that on the podcast. Well, here's the thing: when the first trade came out, the only thing that alarmed me a little, or not alarmed me, but almost validated what I've been saying, is that like the Cavs were really bad, and they have no identity offensively, defensively, no coach-player relationship. Like they were a mess. And they basically said, LeBron, you don't look right. And they know more about his injuries. Go get well. And then they both basically said, Dion Waiters, you're not working. We're getting you out of here. Hey, we don't have enough height, and we're really bad, and we're getting killed. So we're going to get some height. So they at least acknowledged publicly what a lot of us have been saying to each other, like, they're not very good. And this team is probably not making it out of the first round of playoffs. I think they addressed two of the three needs. I think we still need a better backup point guard. But now I at least can look at this team and say, you give us 3 weeks to get healthy, another little bit to gel. I mean, all I still want is for this team to be healthy. Like, when they're healthy, and I just don't want people to freak out. Like, if we can get healthy and get some type of chemistry before, you know, March, April, like, I think we're still in a decent spot. I don't think that we have to reel off, like, an 800 percentage ball for the rest of the year for people to be like, oh, yeah, they're a contender. I think we at least just have to get healthy and get some chemistry and then really see what we have the last month of the season.
I agree.
What do you think when you look at this team with realistic eyes and hopeful eyes, what do you think is the farthest this team that we have on paper is capable of right now? And that's a huge – I mean, that's a huge guess.
That's hard for me to say, man, because, you know, I'm an eternal optimist about the Cavs. I think because I'm trying to be realistic, but I believe in LeBron so much that I think he can get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
See, I looked
at – And then I don't know. Because I think he essentially knows when to turn it up, knows how to pace it, has been there, done that. I see a team like the Hawks or the Raptors that aren't really, like, you know, been to the playoffs, I guess. And they're, like, not – they don't have any veterans that really have been there, done that. Like, just, like, in tight game situations, like, if it's not a blowout game, it's a tight game, I see us being able to manage that kind of game because LeBron's the leader. And we have, like, Mike Miller and Sean Marion, these guys that have been there, done that, and champions, you know. So I think that experience mixed with that, like, your youth and Kyrie and Shumpert now, that we have these, like, players that are, like, athletic and, like, young and energetic. Like, I think we can make the Eastern Conference Finals, possibly win that. I don't know. Like, I hope we do. And then I don't know. Like, there's so many good teams in the West, man.
Now, I'm not as optimistic as you. But, all right, but pre-trade, I don't think we made it out of the first round. I really don't. Just looking at the size in the East – and this is, we're talking about the East. I really didn't think we had a favorable matchup in round one. And so I certainly didn't think we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, after the trade having been made and what I've seen on paper, I think we can win a first round series, but I'm going to have to, if it's 2013 LeBron, I agree with you. We can go to the Eastern Conference Finals. If he's still not, I mean, 'cause 2 weeks off helps. But does 2 weeks off really fix them? I mean, that's just a jury we don't know yet. That the jury's still out on that. And so I mean, that's just such a tough question that I asked you. I was just kind of curious. But my answer to that would be, I think that we can at least win a playoff series, and I would feel confident that we have a chance against a first-round matchup with Chicago or Washington. Like, can actually play with them. Because before, I literally thought that Chicago could sweep us. But I've got to see LeBron be LeBron. I mean, I'm just I'm concerned still, and if he looks like 2013 LeBron again, then I think that puts us right in contention again. But that's what, when this whole thing happened and went down, like, if you'd have told people that Kevin Love wouldn't look this great, but LeBron still looked like he had for the last 5 years, like, people wouldn't have cared. They'd be like, absolutely, let's take this team to the finals. Yeah. So it is what it is. Like, it's all about LeBron. This whole thing is about his health and how he plays, and it will be for the rest of his career. And I don't know. It's, I love LeBron. I've been really frustrated at him, and you've been frustrated at him too this season. Yeah. And I think we both are just trying to figure out what his deal is. I just hope it was a little bit health and he gets that, but I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Honestly, this is so ridiculous, but my mom said it best. And we actually said, she knows I'm like a diehard. And she goes, she's like, actually, like, put all the life stuff into perspective. She's like, he probably is just completely exhausted.
Yeah.
Having, like, just moving his family back here, all the family and friends that are around here probably want to get tickets to all the games, all stuff. He had a new baby, and it's just so chaotic, all the tours he does. And I feel like this is just like his, like, getaway for 2 weeks, just to, like, relax and, like, get out of the, like, media's attention and, like, get his body right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, the summer he never had.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, so I remember my it would have been my sophomore year of college. We were really good, and that was when I was averaging like 25 a game. And
yeah.
I remember like just the pounding of every night being expected to put up that type of number, those type of numbers, while also knowing that the opposing team's main goal was to not let me put that up. And the dealing with the 2-3 defenders just beating the heck out of me. Like, I remember we lost in our conference playoff, and I remember like being relieved because I was so exhausted. And if we had won, then we would have had another road game at Walsh before the national tournament started. And I just remember, like, I was really upset, obviously, when we lost. But I remember just getting that week kind of off of the beating and off of the expectations. And I remember heading out to the national tournament and feeling like a new man. Like, I really it was almost like this breath of fresh air where I felt like it was open gyms in the fall again. Like, I felt so good and relieved.
Yeah.
And unless you've ever, like, been through that or experienced it, you can't really grasp what it's like when your legs have been just, I mean, because he's been playing for like 10 years year round with the weight of the world on him since he was like 18, and I'm not trying 16, I don't even want to make excuses for him. I'm just saying though, like, I agree with you in that, like, this could be like maybe a little oasis for him. Like, I really believe that they basically told him like, hey, you don't look right, we know you're not right, we obviously probably know what is wrong with you. You go get your mind right. Go get your body right. We're going to get things in order and come back and we're going to go at it. And if he comes back and 3 weeks later, he looks like he has for the whole year, then we'll be podcasting again, probably losing our minds. But I think there's a good chance that like he did need this. And maybe we never see his elite, elite, elite athleticism again, but maybe he comes back and we at least see him as an elite athlete again.
Yeah, I agree. Did you see that interview that he had yesterday? Like,
he was like, I would play today if it was I would never have been out.
I was just like noticing like his like what he looked like. He's like, his hair is all grown out and he has like his beard crazy long. Like, he's just like, he's like on his getaway journey.
He needs to shave that beard. He looked terrible.
He's like, just like, you know, I'm doing whatever. I don't have to like get ready for the media this or that. Like, I am just going to get better, you know.
Yeah. All right, last thing we're going to touch on, then I'll let you go because your girl's going to be mad at you that you're holding up the date. How you – David Blatt, where are you at with him?
Yeah. Man, the one excuse we can give is, like, we haven't been able to, like, have any chemistry because different injuries and different situations. But I'm sorry. I don't care. I don't know what it's like in the locker room. I don't think he's won, like, you know, some respect to some players, but – doesn't look like, I don't know, it just doesn't look like, at least Mike Brown, as much as he used to frustrate me, at least the Cavs was D up,
you know?
And it just doesn't look like, why can't he coach them to have more intensity on the defensive end? And maybe they are trying, but like, you can tell when somebody's trying and when they're not.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't look like he has control of the locker room, which kind of sucks because I like in his interviews and his answers and stuff, I think seems like an awesome dude.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really mean anything in the coaching world I've learned.
So I listened. I listened. Now I don't. I'm not a huge Brian Windhorst fan. I think he just kind of talks about the obvious. And I think he's kind of followed LeBron around like he's his shoes or something. But he did say something I listened to the other day that I thought was really interesting. And he said there seems to be a disconnect in this. David Blatt approaches the players like he has 700 wins because he does have like 700 wins. The problem is they were all in Europe. And so he's like the Greg Popovich of Europe or whatever. So he comes over here and the players here treat him like he's a rookie coach because he's a rookie coach in their eyes. And so there's like this lack of credibility and trust both ways where he's like, hey, I'm a veteran coach. You know what I mean? And they're like, you're a rookie coach. And there's a disconnect in that. Now, I will say this. I don't think LeBron has been fair to him. I think if you're the best player and you're the face of the franchise, you either have to throw your support 100% behind him, even if you don't support him. If this is going to work, you have to say, "Hey, guy, like, we're buying in and we're listening. You can't look disinterested, and you can't try to coach the team." Like, LeBron, you're the best player in the world when healthy. go play basketball. Stop trying to be the GM. Stop trying to be the coach. If he does that, I think he puts David Blatt in a position to succeed. I think a part of David Blatt's problem has been he's coaching in a straitjacket where he's afraid to offend LeBron. And and I think if that relationship is – you can't have the coach and the best player not be on the same page, or else this doesn't go anywhere. Now, devil's advocate, real quick, we're wrapping this up. I will say there's not a precedent for a rookie coach or like an NBA rookie coach or a first-year coach really doing well long-term in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like even Spoelstra, like he was in his few years in, but he had been in the Heat organization for years.
And like he was like Pat Riley's
boy. Yeah, so it's not like this – and granted, like I don't mind David Blatt. Like I'm fine with him. I want to see them run his offense. I want to see them give him respect because I don't believe in the coaching circle that like, oh, you get fired in Golden State. Like, yeah, you should get hired here next. Like there's only 30 guys that can coach in the world, so we'll just flip-flop you guys. Like I'm fine with trying something new. I just think that – I think a big part of that's on LeBron and them to give him a chance to really be the coach. And if they do that and we don't play well, that's fine. Whatever. But if he's not given that opportunity, then I don't know how you can really coach him, how you can really be mad at him.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. He's either going to look like a genius like come April or he's going to be fired down the
street. Probably. And
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. And once again, it comes down to LeBron. 100% it's LeBron on that. How he looks, how he handles things. It's insane. Like and we'll end with this, but like I was just thinking, can you imagine the scrutiny that guy's lived under since he was 16 years old? Like even now, they'll put like a game or two on ESPN of like top 50 guys like their teams are playing, but like they were showing LeBron's highlights on ESPN. Like in 2003, he was a household name before he ever played a single game.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, just it's been so much about him his entire life that it's just it hasn't changed, and it's still the circle we're in, you know, the situation. And I don't know. I still love him. I still support him. I still support Kevin Love. I support the organization trying to get to make the right trades, and I was a little worried that maybe it was a panic thing, and I know I'm kind of rambling now, but I don't know. We'll see. Seth?
Yeah.
Thanks for joining me, buddy. I got to get to bed. I got to be up in like 7 hours.
All right, man. Well, hey, enjoy your vacation.
I will. Have a good one, bud. We'll talk soon, all right?
All right. Talk to you later.